It's time for Footy Jukebox. What is Footy Jukebox? Every week we've got nine games of football jam-packed with incidents and stories wall-to-wall from Saturday to Saturday football related. So take any on-field incident, take any off-field incident, take a result, take how a season is panning for a club or a player, marry it to some music. Stop grunting, you're not on yet.
Sorry.
I'm doing my very best to be polite to you. So if you can marry them up, Mark Dacenko, who's a whiz with the old splicing machine, puts music and football action together, and we get some really listen-to-able songs redone with a footy flavour, and also we get to talk some issues. And we do so with the lawyer to the stars, the man for whom Albert Park Eateries can thank for an upturn in business, Shergar Racing's principal spooker, and aren't they doing well? He's been a player manager, though he can barely manage his own affairs because tonight he bleeds from one nostril. I speak of Stephen J. Peake.
Thank you very much, Mark. Great to see you. Yeah, I'm struggling a bit here, but I'll get through it all right.
Who do you look like?
What do I look like?
Who was the Dustin Hoffman character in Midnight Cowboy?
I don't know, but I'm starting to feel a bit like Jack Nicholson in Chinatown when he had his nose split open.
You know what happens to Aussie people? They lose their noses.
Noses, that's right.
But in the final scene in Midnight Cowboy...
I never saw that film.
...is on a bus. You see, John Voight plays the Texan that comes to town wide-eyed to New York and ends up having to his dreams destroyed. He meets up with a local hustler who gets him into prostitution. But in the end, the big lanky Texan Voight has to go home. And he does so in the embrace, in the caring embrace. Now, that relationship had gone from exploitive to perversely caring. So he puts him on a Greyhound bus back to Texas or wherever he goes with him. And that final scene is them sort of dolefully sitting in that Greyhound bus with the song, "Everybody's Talking at Me." Yes. And then Dustin Hoffman character's nose starts to bleed like yours.
Yeah, look. Like, well, I've got a bit of a weak vessel there at the moment, but we'll try and sort it out.
The vessel has the brew that is true.
Yes. I'm not going to go through that.
Feel free to call the pestle
with the poison. The flagon with the dragon has the brew that is true.
So what's the pestle?
The vessel with the pestle has the pellet with the poison.
Oh, okay.
Danny Kay out of the Court Jester, 1956 or 50, somewhere between 56 and 59, I think.
Now, we've already had a nomination off the SMS that matches with one of our chosen nominations, and that is an automatic prize. If you match up, even by SMS, the exact song with the exact incident, then you get prizes. So, congratulations to Fred in Noble Park. You've already got two bottles of Yarra Valley wines, a lovely red and a lovely white. You know, if you mix red and white wine together, what you get?
That's a ludicrous mosé.
Pink wine.
Pink wine or mosé, they call it, don't they?
Rosé.
Rosé, is it?
Rosé.
What's mosé then?
Pardon?
What's mosé?
The full brother to black caviar.
That's mosé.
Well, similar. It's closer than the wine.
It is.
Fred has also won himself a $50 voucher to Sexyland, where tasteful gifts are part of the overall erotic sale. So you can get all your wonderful erotica, but also some very tasteful...
appliances.
Maybe. Yes. And two Bataki hams and a double pass to the Melbourne Boat Show, which is on June 12th to 5th. Go to Ticket Tech. I'll just go to melbourneboatshow.com.au, actually. A 2015 champion collector card album, two bonus card packs. I've given you the Pataki ham and two games of golf at Keysborough. The bloke's already won six prizes because he and I agreed that today's big freeze had an obvious musical marriage made in heaven.
Mate, I've done a lot of preparation for this. I had a couple of Eskimo pies before I went to bed last night, so I feel that I'm ready to go. 3, 2, 1, slide! Ah!
The message is it's a beast of a disease. Every dollar helps. Every dollar gives us hope. Every dollar really helps M&D sufferers. So get on board the Freeze Army.
The water was cold, but the hearts were as warm as could be from those hardy souls, including our own Tim Watson there, who agreed to be slid into incredibly cold iced water. We saw Mick Molloy in his beautiful Spudgy Smugglers, well, Richmond yeah. coloured, the Mankini of Newman.
That ludicrous, that outfit.
It was all for fun. It was all for charity.
Yeah. So that's the main thing. Out there.
It was a great day, and well done to everybody who donated. And to that end, a big thank you to the great Pino's Vegetables at Paran Market.
Yep.
They threw a ton in. Gary's Meats, Gary McBean, and everybody there threw a ton. And the Village Bell, great supporters of Evenings with the Gilbo's. Super mess around, sponsored by the Village Bell, all through.
Bell.
$100 into the kitty.
Excellent.
Let's get your first.
Well, look, I was just going to... do you want me to make a quick comment about something before we start?
Oh, please do.
I just want to raise that issue, and I didn't get through it the other day, about jumpers and the club's alternate strips. Now, Melbourne, I think, got it right today. Didn't they have a navy... most of it was navy blue, I think, with red embossed, imprinted writing on it. And that seemed to be pretty much, you know, the correct attire to wear.
De rigueur.
The de rigueur correct of the alternate strip. But one thing I've been thinking about this again, over the weekend, the AFL's got to ban clubs from just grabbing white. When they can't think of an alternate strip and just say, well, just throw it and make it 90% white and take white out of it if it's not in their traditional colours.
Look, there is a simple rule that must be followed.
Yes.
If you can't knit it, you can't have it. These computer-generated, I've said it before, these swoons, these cartoon images, these caricatures of and stylized eagles and crows, they need to talk to the military, the AFL. And the military will tell you that the sort of confluence of colours in swashes and swirls is actually the notion behind camouflage. That solid blocks of colours are not camouflage. It's when you mix
and swirl
splotches and swirls of colours that it confuses.
Blend in with the grass.
It confuses the part of the brain which I think is vision. Dictated to by what?
The colour calculator part of the brain.
Yes, what is that part of the brain?
Oh, I'm not so sure of the medical.
The medulla oblongata?
Oh, look, you're talking to a lawyer, not
the
a scientist.
The frontal
surgeon.
Cortex?
Not a brain surgeon.
The hippocampus? I think maybe the hippocampus. I'm going without a net, that vision, especially perception and colour perception is governed by the hippocampus.
I think you're
Let
probably
right. Let me look
right. it up. But Collingwood, and this is where Eddie's pretty well much got it right, black on white or white on black, they can narrow the size of their black strips when they've got to have a more of a lighter colour jumper and have more white in it, or they can narrow the white to have more black with the black shorts. That's how you do it. St Kilda got about 10 alternate strips because they can elongate the colours of the three colour schemes.
They've had some of the worst, of course.
Well, I don't go along with that.
I've got the yellow, the pure milk.
I bought a copy of the pure milk one when it was available. I bought one, the yellow, because that was part of our original colours. So and that gets into the scheme of things. But that Adelaide jumper the other day, that was a Footscray jumper if I ever saw one. It was mainly the red and blue stripe on the white background 90%, with a little gold triangle down in where it met the trunks.
Ridiculous.
A ludicrous situation. We're at a dem on that, but the AFL
bring in this
in.
Law now. If Nana can't knit it, then you can't have it.
Well, if I was Peter Gordon at Footscray, I'd be writing a letter. I'd be ringing up Gillon McLachlan straight away and said, tell him to get out of our colours.
If you were Peter Gordon, you'd have to hire more than that part-time secretary that you have for about 3 minutes a week. You'd need a big staff. He's got a huge business.
He has got a very big business, but he's a president of a club. I'm not president. He can ring up Gillon McLachlan. I had to do his job for him and make a complaint because he needs to do that, and other clubs in a similar position. Carlton should never wear a white jumper. They can... The light blue, okay, you can go with that. The M&M jumper, that's blue. It's part of the family of blue colours, right? So you can go with
anyhow, Maggie Tabra, let's get off the paint. Okay. Let's get off the paint discussion and into.
I saw three films last week. Mad Max, I gave 9 out of 10 to. Complete Carnage, not a very good script, but it doesn't matter because they get 9 out of 10. Woman in Gold, a magnificent film, 9 out of 10 there. Helen Mirren, superb in the role of Ryan Reynolds as her lawyer in that film. And Spy, the film that was a lot of swearing in it. Melissa McCarthy, 7 out of 10, a little bit overcooked, but a reasonable film. Now, this week's...
I think I'm being pointed to the occipital lobe rather than the hippocampus, but I'll get back to you.
Well, that's whatever part of the brain that it comes from, it'll be whatever it is. So, well, there was a forgotten man in football in the last 2 months, or he's been ridiculed, he's been chastised, he's been sent to Coventry. The experts have ridiculed him, no doubt about that. But today, the forgotten man, he decided, I'm going to put an end to this, and he's back on deck, and we all know who he is now. So don't you forget about Travis Cloak, and don't you forget about me with Simple Minds.
It's a tight angle, but he is full of confidence. He's kicking everything today. He's kicked 5 straight. Clark the target. There's a holding on there. Clark's going to get the free against Lyndon Dunn. He's kicked 5 straight. Clark moves in, and that one starts to swing back. There's another. Inside and out and Kennedy sends a high ball with plenty of hang time. In the air. And Clark is able to snap on Randy's body. There's 7!
Forget about Cloak. That's good.
I thought that was quite a good selection. You know, with the full forwards, I checked the all-time goal-kicking lists, Mark, out before I came in. Some of our modern-day full forwards, by the time they've retired, I'm talking about Josh P. Kennedy at West Coast, I'm talking about Travis Cloak, and I'm not talking about Buddy so much, because Buddy, he probably hit 6... maybe 650 goals. He might get to 800, around about there. But some of these full forwards who are now at the top of the tree aren't going to get by the time they finish their career, 550, 600 goals. It just goes to show what a phenomenal job people like Lockett, Dunstall and Hudson did to be able to kick the...
Coventry.
And Coventry as well, won't leave him out, in mud heap grounds, and they're able to do it, and often having two or three defenders jumping on them, just how good they were as full forwards.
Too true. Let's head to Marcus in South Melbourne. Good evening, Marcus.
Marcus?
How are you, gentlemen? It's good to listen to you in fine form.
I love nothing than on a Monday night being joined by the Marcus to chat with myself and the carcass.
You know that there is one good white jumper already in the league.
Yes, who?
Fremantle Dockers.
Well, that's made with purple.
Have, yeah, they've got white with purple.
Yeah, but it's made with purple with a white V.
But their alternative is white with a purple V. Your insistence of less white jumpers, I disagree with.
I'm talking about other clubs that don't have white in it, but Fremantle do have the right to do that because they've got white in their jumper, which is right for them.
So you're saying white is right? Are you?
I was waiting for that. For them it is, yes.
You sound like the little... Who was the
Sheriff of Alabama.
Was it
Territory.
Billy Hughes, the Australian Prime Minister?
Oh, that's right. Arthur Caldwell said that, I think. The opposition leader in 1967.
Delightful. Back to you, Marcus.
I'm shocked there. There's a few things I could say about Arthur Caldwell, but I best keep that to myself. Listen, I'd like to nominate a song for Ray and all the Richmond supporters. As you know, I'm a Dockers supporter, but I think you should play the Tiger Rag because they played so well on Friday night.
Let's have a listen to the Tiger Rag.
Look out, boy. That tiger's coming down. He's gonna bite you. Ah,
Fremantle, one's not on, he's kicked, he's centred it, they might have turned it over again, the Tigers. Oh, well done, picked up by Martin, he'll kick with the right, outside the boot, and bends it back, and in a blink of an eye, that's another Chisholm and Gaiman goal of the night.
Everybody's doing the Tiger Rag. You know how those songs go?
Yeah, it's a little bit of Dixieland jazz that they sing.
Everyone's singing, everyone's playing, everybody's doing the Tiger Rag. You know who sang like that? Good call, Marcus.
L. Jolson.
The greatest entertainer.
The one who was the
planet has ever seen.
Greatest entertainer, the planet song.
The greatest entertainer ever sang a rag song.
And?
Do you know who that entertainer was?
No, but I think it's a man you've mentioned once before who did the original version of Mammy or something or other.
No, it wasn't more him. The greatest entertainer ever to have lived.
Gee whiz, the greatest entertainer. The world is a stage of entertainment. That's entertainment. Well, gee whiz, some people would say Fred Astaire and Gene Kelly would go close.
Pardon? No, not close. Much more famous than that.
Really? Frank Sinatra?
No, he is known as the greatest entertainer of all time.
A song and dance man?
Doing the old-time rag. Do you want to hear him? We're getting him up in a moment.
Before Al Jolson?
The greatest ever, before or after, it doesn't matter. He's the greatest.
Well, I'm trying to pinpoint the situation. I'm having trouble with that.
All right, well, we'll play it for you. He hit the world as the greatest song and dance, the greatest entertainer ever. Everybody knows him. Get on with your beeswax.
Michael Jackson?
No. Plays Michael Jackson on a break. Here
on
he
a
is.
Break.
I think we've got him coming up in a moment. Here he is.
Hello, my baby. Hello, my honey. Hello, my ragtime gal. Send me a kiss, my wire. Baby, my heart's on fire. If you refuse me, honey, you lose me. Then you'll be left alone. Oh, baby, telephone and tell me I'm your own. Everybody
do the Michigan rag.
Everybody likes the Michigan rag. Every mame and chain and stomp, romp, pump the Michigan. Jump, bump, pump the Michigan rag. That loving rag.
The great Michigan J. Frog.
Michigan J. Frog?
Yeah, Michigan J. Frog.
He was the original version of...
From Looney Tunes. Yeah. Was a singing frog.
And you reckon
it was billed as the greatest entertainer the world has ever seen. It was a little high-stepping frog called Michigan J. Frog.
Yeah. I think I remember.
Everybody's doing the Michigan rag.
And he's got a walking cane and a top hat on.
If I ever own a harness horse, I guarantee you it'll be called Michigan J. Frog.
But you're trying to tell the world at large, including me, that he's the most
famous. He was promoted as the world's... Look, if I found a frog that could sing, if I found a frog that could sing and dance like Michigan J., believe me...
It's a cartoon cutout.
But if I found a real one... Believe me, there'd be money in them frogs' legs.
Well, there may well be, but you threw me with that because I wasn't thinking about cartoon caricatures.
You've got to think outside the circle.
I was thinking about flesh and blood performers.
What have you got for the Chris Judd injury?
Well, now, the Chris Judd injury, I had a few of this, the disaster with the knee injury, standing on one leg, Nina Nesbitt, probably. I had thinking about Judd positively. There's one song that comes to my mind straight away, and that was Body Movin' by the Beastie Boys, about flexible body movin'. Then I thought about Footloose with Kenny Loggins, but the one that does specify where he could be more than anything else, probably 90% but not 100%, is, of course, the old-time favourite there, The End by The Doors.
And now Judd charges out of the
corner. He's in trouble.
The grab. Now he's hurt himself.
No, he's in big trouble here.
He's hurt himself. He's not getting up. He's throwing his arm in the air now. Has he hurt a knee or was it an ankle? He's in trouble. He knows something serious has happened. And he's just laying there and he just put his hand in the air. What did the replay show?
Oh, right knee.
He's landed awkward. So he's
left knee.
Landed on the left leg.
This is the end. Beautiful friend, this is the end, my only friend, the end.
Could be the end.
Of all the elaborate plans, the end.
A haunting song. Haunting.
Haunting. Now, I did see Dr. Peter Larkins. He says that Judd can only go one way, and that's with the traditional knee reconstruction and not with the Lars surgery, which he says has only had one or two successes. Now, didn't Nick Melseski, didn't he go the Lars way? Is he a Lars man, Melseski?
He's had a couple of Lars.
He's a Lars man. And there's a couple of other Larses still running around. Now,
There's no need to do a Lars on him.
Why not?
What's that going to do, get him back for a game?
Well, he'd be back for a full pre-season.
He wants to play footy.
Well, that's a decision he's got to make. But if the Lars is working for the few that have had it, and there hasn't been a quick breakdown from a Lars operation, I'd be going Lars.
I would
and
not.
So say all of us.
What's your favourite Indian instrument?
The sitar used by Brian Jones in Painted Black when he was still alive with the Rolling Stones, the sitar.
Well, I'd suggest if you walked into an Indian musical store and said, I want a sitar,
yeah,
you would be given a sitar over there.
Right. Yeah, the Maharishi Yogi, I think, played a sitar.
A sitar. Sitar.
That famous Indian.
But not a sitar, sitar.
A sitar. Also the man who played at Woodstock, who was
Ravi
Shankar.
Not Ravi Shastri. He's the bloke that he worn to all parts in his first test.
No, not Ravi Shastri. Ravi Shankar. I said Shankar.
I used to go out with a girl called Lisa Shankar.
Shankar.
Not okay. Shankar.
She Shankar. From India?
No, Caulfield.
Besides the 15,000 kilometres out.
Besides the sitar, what is the other Indian musical instrument you enjoy?
The other Indian musical instrument that I like.
Yeah.
Well, I must admit, I'm not a big. They use a form or a style of bongo drums.
Yes, they do have very popular drums.
Popular drums in their repertoire. Of course, every Indian orchestra is not exactly the same. There are different orchestras that have different instruments.
Oh, you're an aficionado, are you, of the Indian orchestra setup?
Not totally, but you do notice when they're on stage, the various bands. But I'm trying to think.
I think the most famous other one, I'm trying to look it up, is a tamla. Is it called a
tamla?
A tamla?
Is that like a glockenspiel?
Sometimes you make yourself laugh, you're that silly. I'm not familiar with the glockenspiel. All right. North Melbourne had quite the afternoon. What do you make of North Melbourne thus far this season?
North Melbourne have been up and down like a yo-yo, without a shadow of a doubt, and I'm trying to work out where I am. But I'll tell you one thing is that they had a big win over West Coast. They were dead in the water, North Melbourne, for a few weeks, and their coach is getting a back operation, and Darren Crocker is in there, and all of a sudden he was liaising, of course, with Brad over the phone in the hospital and on the TV. They have become, well, they're alive again, and they are most alive.
Jack Siebel's had a great game. Boomer Harvey's been important. Sean Higgins, maybe his best game as a Kangaroo. And they'll enjoy this one tonight. Siren only moments away, and Swallow. And they celebrate in great style here, the Kangaroos. A memorable victory. They win it by 10 points, 13-7-85 North Melbourne, 10-15-75 the Eagles.
They are still alive. Great piece of work there by our man on edit, Mark Lysenko. And Elias is also doing his bit by dancing groovily in the background. It's quite the scene.
That's great.
It's a tabla, not a tamla.
A tamla, is it?
Tabla.
A tabla. Yep. Which is a percussion instrument, no doubt.
A tabla is like a drum, yes. I'll give you now $10 for every other Indian instrument you can name in the next 5 minutes. Oh, go now.
Well, look, they've got versions of oboes and piccolos, but I don't know what they call them.
You're talking about reeded wind instruments, the pepa, the punji, the bean, the kuzai, the nadabwasaram, the shenai, the sundari,
the
famous algoza, the double flute, the bansuri, the tangmuri, the vinu, or their bagpipes, which are the mashak, the titi, and the sruti upanga.
Why have we taken such a direct interest?
The pungi is the most famous, of course. That's the one for the cobras.
Oh well, that instrument. If you've seen Rambo 4, the initial part of that movie, you'll see when Rambo's catching anaconda snakes in the water.
So it is important. There's a free reeded musical instrument, the gogona, the morsing, or the free reed and bellowed instrument, the shruti box or the harmonium.
They've got a bellow instrument.
You'd be familiar with glass harmonium.
You is.
Do you know that horse? Glass harmonium?
Bellow instrument, you wouldn't have to bellow.
Do you know the glass harmonium?
The glass harmonium. There was a horse called glass harmonium.
Correct. It was used to miss the kick.
Grey. Front-running grey.
Miss the kick often.
Now, look, we didn't actually throw anything together for James Hurd and Wada and all the rest because he's indicated that the players' minds are starting to be affected by all that.
Yep.
But I thought about a few things. You know what I thought about? Going out of my head, Dionne Warwick's version. There's a million versions of that done by everyone from Frank Sinatra to Luther Vandross.
What version?
Dion Warwick did.
I thought you said Warwick Irwin. I was thinking.
Dion Warwick and
Warwick Irwin do us something.
Luther Vandross.
Yep.
There was many others which did that, which included also the Fifth Dimension and the Zombies.
So that's a lot of versions.
A lot of versions. There's more than that, even. Ella Fitzgerald and also Luther Anthony and the Imperials did a version of it too. How many more do you want?
Now it's my turn to enter into the discussion. And Richmond could not have been more impressive on Friday night. In hindsight, everybody looks back at the game and goes, oh, that was the one Freo had to lose. Bullshizing. I mean, they wouldn't have factored in losing any games at home. So to be so soundly beaten.
Yeah, they were savagely beaten, and Richmond put in the best first quarter of football I've seen them play for a while.
And how many goals did they kick in that first quarter?
8 goals.
Two,
number eight.
Four, six, eight goals.
Kick on goal. It's a pretty ordinary kick off the boot, but it's still a goal. Great kick. Tigers get their second. They're up and about, the Tigers. They're going for four straight. Rove at the front. Delidio, if you don't mind. Open goal. Banged it home. Picked up by Martin. He'll kick with the right outside the boot and bends it back. Kickers has already kicked one. No, he's now kicked two. He bends it around with a ripper.
Kick behind the Vickery kick. This will be the sixth straight goal for the Tigers. He has split the middle.
Taken by Grigg. He snapped. He bends it. He kicks another one. Ladio has got on the end of it. Eight straight Richmond. They're up. They're about.
Now, if you want any of these songs, Elias is going to put them... Don't laugh at me, Elias. It's called work. You will be uploading these great pieces of work by Mark Dysenko on the website, SoundCloud, and you'll also Twitter them to everybody in Australia.
In the Twitterati.
In the Twitterverse.
Yes, and on our podcasting or whatever.
Yeah.
Possibly.
You know that I am advocating I've got a new company because I'm not into Twitter and I've made some alterations to it. I'm getting them to merge with another company.
Oh.
A TV company, Showcase.
Okay. Showcase?
Yeah. Twitter and Showcase.
So what are you doing? You're going to combine your Twitter site with the Showcase?
Yeah.
And when you make a comment, it's going to be filmed onto Twitter, is
yeah,
it?
Yeah. No, it'll be called Shittercase.
What will it be called?
Shittercase.
Well, that's
Twitter and Showcase. You've got to combine them.
Some people may find that an offensive term to use for your Twitterati.
Not if they're Twitter users, but they'd be right up their alley.
I must admit, I'm not big on the Twitter.
I've just insulted the bulk of people on the planet. Why not?
When I first...
At 10 to midnight, having done a 5 hour and 49 stint, I'm going to go on record as saying if you're on Facebook or Twitter, you're a moron.
Well, I'm
moron.
A big Facebook user.
Every person on Facebook's a moron. Would that end? Is that it? Is that my last broadcast? I don't mean it. Of course, that would be silly.
Facebook, you can use that for advertising.
Are you on
well.
It? You're a moron.
I'm on Facebook. I've got 500.
Are you on it, Dysenko? Yes or no?
On Facebook.
He said no. Get Elias on here. He's a young punk.
I welcome people to join my Facebook because I'm going to tell them things that...
People on your Facebook.
I want them on the Facebook because I'll tell them...
You're trying for 60 years to get somebody on your face and that couldn't work. Hey, Elias, I can't hear you.
How are you, Finny?
Good. Are you on Facebook? You're a young punk.
I'm actually friends with Peaky on Facebook.
Moron. How can you... So you care what each other had for dinner?
I don't go into that tripe.
The consistency of his bowel movements. Do you Twitter? Do you Facebook that to people?
No, but all that's tripe. You use it to, if you use it sensibly.
What do you use it for? Special offer at Arjar. First 10 people to come in guarantee that I get a free feed. That's hardly.
I fill a bit of information, and also I've done a bit of advertising on Facebook.
How's that going for you?
Well, I haven't done much lately.
What are you selling? Awnings.
Selling me.
You're selling yourself on Facebook.
Yeah.
Why don't you just do it the way normal people do and stand on Grey Street every night?
I'm selling myself for physical purposes for mental usage, you know, legal stuff.
What does that mean? You only do hand relief. I don't get it.
If they need
is that
me,
code, is that code word?
For, call at the moment.
Is that code word for an old fashioned?
No, if they need me for a court case or for some law, I can tell
they,
them what I'm.
They will need you for a court case if they're picking you up on the corner of Grey Street.
I'm not going anywhere near Grey Street.
What, opening up some new avenues of business. Are you looking to get off Broadway clientele?
Off Broadway?
Go down to Shakespeare Grove or down to Elwood.
A lot of that area around that you're talking about, I think, has been cleaned up. I think.
In fact, I'll do your business card if you work there.
You won't be. You won't be doing that.
Peek on Shakespeare. Shake hands with. In a minute, I'm speaking. Are. All right, we've got to go to the break.
Sandwich board.
Go to the break. When we come back, we're done because we're going to listen to the coaches from today's game.
Listen to the coaches. I've had something else to mention, and I've.
All right, forget the coaches. When we come back, Peaky wants more airtime, so we'll go right through to midnight with live radio. Stephen J. Peak.
And I know we've got to hear from the coaches.
Pardon?
We have to hear from the coaches, the presses.
So are we going home or not? You've got to be out working by 12:15.
Well, I do. Also, I must admit, it's a cold night too. Rug up because of my blocked nostril, I can hardly hear you at the moment. So there you go. I said
you're working on Grey Street tonight.
No, I'm not going down there. I'm a mess.
Pardon?
I'm a mess.
So we'll lower the price.